I've got a bit of a challenge. In fact, I'm going to do it slightly differently. Are you all kind of comfortable with people kind of venturing out this far? Is that okay? Mr. PI man, this is not a good idea. I know that, but we're going to keep going. Are you feeling a bit nervous yet, anybody? No? No, you're not feeling nervous? You're doing okay? Yeah? Okay, that's all right. Yeah? You feeling okay at the side there? Yeah? Yeah? You're all right? Okay, good. It's a bit kind of... Wow, he's walked out there. Okay, but what if I said to you this morning, if you came up onto the stage and joined me, I'd give you a free gift? How does that make you feel? Not sure. You know, I ventured out into to meet you guys, you know. You were a bit nervous about that, but... Even more nervous coming out here. And I'm not even going to tell you what the free gift is.
That's why.
What if I said, well, it doesn't take much doing. All you've got to do is to kind of walk a few paces and this free gift will be yours. No? Still not sure. Still nobody's going to... Oh, somebody's standing. Are you standing up because you're coming to the front? Are you just... No, he's just standing there. You don't even know what's going on, do you? Okay, but I'm just picking up on what was said earlier on. Now, if I told you, see, I came prepared and I kind of sought this out this morning. If I'd have said to you, well, actually, I've got a nice £10 note. See, that changes things, doesn't it? Suddenly, it's, oh, well, maybe that's worthwhile. But that's a bit like how we are with evangelism. We know that we've got something that's much more valuable than 10 or 5 pounds or whatever else. And we know that. And what we've got to try and do is to get the people out there to understand what we already understand. To know what we already know. But to them, it's just like you were sat there before and you're thinking, Well, yeah, he said there's a free gift, but he's a preacher. And I know from past experiences, never trust a preacher. And you're right. Because sometimes we do play games and we do trick people into doing things that they might not want to do. But if you'd have known, if I'd have said right from the start, if you come up here, I'll give you £10. You'd have thought, oh, that's a bit more worthwhile. And it might have persuaded you to actually come up here. If you could put the first slide up. This will make sense to you, I promise you. When I was here last time, I was... Is this not going to go? Okay. I was talking to you about my son's forthcoming wedding. Oh, no, not that one. There should be another one before that one. Unless, of course, it's disappeared, in which case... No, it's not that one. No. Okay, we'll leave that one up. That's fine. We'll change the way we do things. I don't know where that came from. Was that mine? Oh, wow, that's the reading, isn't it? Thank you. Right. Okay. Now I'm catching up. When I was last here, I talked about my son's wedding. It may be on a different PowerPoint. I've just realised I probably copied the wrong PowerPoint, so I apologise. It's my fault, not yours, that you can't find the slide. And I was telling you about my son's wedding, which happened August bank holiday weekend, and it was amazing. It was fantastic. But at the beginning of the week, my son doesn't go to church, and his now wife is not really interested in church. But the week before the wedding, they were getting a bit anxious about the wedding and all that sort of stuff. And I said, oh, I'll pray. If you're going to pray, you need to pray for the weather. He'd seen the forecast. It was rain over the bank holiday weekend. Oh, okay. I'll have a word with the big man for you, I said to him. And as the week progressed, well, it's not looking any different, Dad. I said, don't worry. Keep praying. The morning of the wedding, it rained. And I thought, oh, that was a fail. But by lunchtime, the wedding occurred at 2 o'clock. By midday, there was beautiful sunshine. And we had a fantastic time when we were able to make use of the grounds in the place that they had their wedding reception. Now you might say, oh well, it could have just happened. It could have. I get that. Was it a witness to my son? Yes. Did it make a difference to him? Probably. Because next time, he might just say, hey dad, could you pray? While we were there, this is nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but I just felt I needed to kind of share it with you. While we were there, and I don't know how you feel about this, and if this offends you, I apologize. But I got talking to one of my son's friends. This young man is in the army. He's had a difficult life. And he kind of, you're a vicar, aren't you? It's easier just to say yes. Okay? He doesn't do church. He's never done church. He doesn't know what it's all about. So it's easy. Yeah, that's right. I'm a vicar. Huh. I said, let me buy you a drink. What, you'll buy me a drink? Yeah, I'll buy you a drink. What would you like? Well, I'll have one of them whiskey cocktails, he says, thinking that I would kind of frown at him or something. So off I went and got one for him and one for me. And it was lovely. And we sat for about an hour and talked. And at the end of it, he didn't become a Christian. He didn't give his life to Jesus and all that kind of stuff. But somebody was nice to him, which doesn't often happen for that poor young man. But I witnessed to him. I didn't kind of go into the whole Bible and all that kind of stuff. I was just nice to him. And he knows that he can come and talk to me anytime. Because that's how we parted the conversation. I just said, look, if you want to talk, come and talk to me. And my last one. I don't know what you're... Do you have a Costa nearby? You like Costa? Yeah. People who I work with say that Costa is my office. It isn't. It's just convenient. And I know that I've got a fighting chance of getting a half-decent cup of coffee rather than some of the offerings that there are in Rill. But anyway, when I go to Costa, I smile. And I say hello to the people on the way in. And when I finish my cup of coffee, I take the cups and I stack them up and put them back on the tray. And if there was somewhere to take them, I would take them there. And it's not because I just want to be nice or because I want to do somebody out of a job. It's because that's a witness to those people. Hey, that man bothered to do something. And again, it might never be that it transformed their lives. But it might be that I have an opportunity at some point to talk to one of those people. And they recognize me and they'll say, hey, you're that person who stacks the cups up when they come for a cup of coffee. Now, I know other people do that. I'm not saying that I'm special or that it's some wonderful spiritual thing. All I'm saying is that if we just be nice to people, sometimes it gives us an opportunity to share with them. We're going to read together. It's got two passages on the screen. One was from Psalms and one was from Matthew. And I'm going to add a third one in as well, which you won't have up on your screen. So I apologize for that. But here we go. So Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones,
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And if you turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 13. So Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Wonder what we make of those words. How about these words? Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And that's what we should be about. Maybe not speaking in the tongues, maybe not speaking in a foreign language, but being able to pass on the good news in a relevant way to the people that we meet by being nice, by just being ordinary people with an extraordinary message. So if we can go back to the slides now, and you'll see there's an E with a cross through it. And I'm not quite sure where all your theological thinking is. I'm kind of looked at your church profile a little bit and seen where you're at. But this comes out of something that's been gathering momentum in my mind from looking at social media, looking at other churches, listening to what some people are saying. And it seems to me that the term evangelical has gone out of fashion. It seems to me that it's almost wrong to be evangelical, particularly in the face of new thinking, of new theologies that other people are bringing. I want to take it back. I want to make it something actually that is relevant to us today. You see, it seems to me that it's okay to be evangelical about recycling. Yeah, if you describe somebody who's really passionate about recycling or about a political party or about doing something really important, you'll say about that person, oh, they're really evangelical about their particular cause. Because what they mean is that that person is really enthusiastic and really wants everybody else to be as enthusiastic as they are about that particular thing. And it might be the 5-2 diet. It might be cycling. It might be rock climbing. It might be nuclear physics. And yet, if we as Christians start to get enthusiastic, start to get evangelical, people start looking a bit scared, a bit nervous. But I think the term is far from redundant. I believe that if we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, if we are actually wanting to be serious about our Christian faith, we need to be evangelical. We need to have... the term is evangel or evangel. Okay, the good news. And what's the good news if it's not what's contained in the book? And as I said before, we know that we've got it and we're sat in here. And that's good. But how do we get people out there to know what we've got in here? So what do we know about people who are evangelical? They have got many layers. And I hope, through the wonders of modern technology, I can demonstrate this important theological principle by using a clip from the movie Shrek. Layers. And that's kind of where we want to go this morning. Five layers to being an evangelical. You might not agree with them all. You might want to argue from your own perspective. And that's okay. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm just here to give you some opportunities to think. What do I actually believe? Is this actually relevant to me today? So the first thing is... and I'm careful here because these kind of sound a bit like cliches. But evangelicals believe in being born again. Believe in being saved. A personal experience between you and God. Romans 3:23 says that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We all need him to save us. Acts 2:38, Peter's speaking and he says, turn back to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will be given the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children. It is for everyone our Lord God will choose, no matter where they live. It seems clear to me that there is a need for an individual choice. That people have to make a choice whether they're going to follow God or not. Mark chapter 10 gives an example of that. There was a rich young man. He had loads of money. And he came to Jesus. What do I need to do to have eternal life? Keep all the commands. I do that already. Give up everything you own and follow me. And we know the choice that that man made. Sadly, he chose not to follow Jesus. And maybe that's something that you need to think about this morning. Are you willing to give everything up? Are you willing to make that sacrifice to follow Jesus? Whatever else might be on offer that he is calling you to follow him. Evangelical Christians, and this is number two, believe the Bible is the inspired word of God to humankind. Or as the Baptist Union puts it, the final authority in all matters of doctrine and faith. Above all human authority. Some bits of it are hard. Some bits of it difficult to kind of get your head around, to understand what it means. And I think we need to be careful that we don't go down this road. There was a phrase a few years ago which is still used in some quarters. It's called sola scriptura. And it means scripture only. And people will say, oh, if the Bible says it, it's true. And I agree with that, but, and again, without wanting to be offensive, looking around, I think most of us have still got two eyes most of us have got both of our hands, because we haven't taken it quite literally where it says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. So we need to be careful, don't we, that we're not quite going to go down that road. And I'm not advocating that, just in case anybody thinks, oh, Trevor said that we should... No, Trevor didn't say that. What I'm saying is that when we read the Bible, we need to get it. Yeah, Jesus was, another big word, a hyperbolist. Yeah, he over-exaggerated things to make a point, so that people would understand what he meant, because that was the culture in which he was living. So people would understand it. When I was talking to this young man at my son's wedding, there was no point in me quoting bits of the Bible to him, because he didn't know. So I talked to him in a language that he would understand. But as an evangelical, I believe that this is the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we read the psalm, we read the psalms earlier on. What's the book of Psalms? Anybody know how you could describe the book of Psalms? A hymn book for the church, yeah, that's one way of saying it. Anything else? Poetry, maybe? Yeah, or a collection of songs. And when you sing songs or when you read poetry, you don't always think it's got to be taken as fact. It's got to be taken literally. You know, if you read poetry, and hence the phrase, a poetic license. Yeah, because they're allowed to kind of adjust things to make it fit and make it rhyme. What if you read Isaiah? What's Isaiah about in general? Prophecy. Yeah, it's prophecy. And we know when we read prophecy that it's different to reading poetry. We know when we read the books of the law that that's different to reading prophecy or poetry. But we know that it's all in the book. And we know that it's all inspired by God. And maybe what we need to do is to meet with other people and to learn from each other and to explore together what the book means. The third point. Evangelicals believe the work of Jesus on the cross, that through his death and resurrection, that is the only source of salvation and forgiveness. And again, I'm not having a go at people, but as far as I can see, there is only one way that people can be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus has the power to save. His name is the only one in all the world that can save people. And again, in Ephesians 2:8, you were saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve. There's nothing that we can do. We can't earn our way in. I'm really sorry. Not everyone is going to heaven. Okay, let me say that. Not everyone is going to heaven. There are some Christians, or they call themselves Christians, who will say, it's okay to believe something different. It's okay to have a slightly different religion, because it's all the same God, and actually they all lead to the same God, and we're all going to heaven. And actually, Jesus loves the world so much, he doesn't want anybody to die. That's not what I read in the Bible. And if I'm an evangelical, then that has an impact on how I lived my life. Number four, evangelical Christians are strongly motivated to share the gospel, either one-on-one
or through organized mission. Emphasis is placed on the Great Commission. Go and tell the whole world, as we heard before. Psalm 105 and Psalm 145 encourage us to share the good news stories, to tell other people about the things that God has done. Tell the world. Be nice to people. Earn the opportunity to be able to say, when somebody asks you, there's something different about you. You hold the door open. You talk to me even when nobody else will. That's the time when you can share the good news. And the fifth point, most evangelicals believe that there will be a rapture in the end times. If you look at the chapter before, the one we read, so Acts chapter 1, the disciples, and it doesn't, let me just kind of go to it, because it doesn't do it justice when you read it, but let me give you an idea of what it says. So Acts chapter 1. Okay, and it starts off in my previous book, and so on and so on. So here we go. So from verse 3. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Sounds quite ordinary, doesn't it? I don't think it was quite as mundane as we might read. I imagine that the disciples would have been pretty scared. They've just seen Jesus going up into heaven. And these two guys appear out of nowhere. Hey, why are you standing here looking up into heaven? Well, actually, it's not every day that we see Jesus going up into heaven. Why do you think we're still stood here looking? This same Jesus, one day, will return. But in the meantime, go and tell the whole world. How good are we as evangelicals? And some of the people that I've mentioned who talk about this idea that it's okay that we're all going to heaven, that God isn't actually going to destroy the whole world and stuff like that. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that God is not slow to return, but actually he wants everybody to be saved. And that's the verse that they kind of pick on. Oh, well, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus, or God, doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to be saved. And like I said before, we can do that. We can use the Bible in various ways.
people in a church in America used the Bible to justify why they had a box of snakes at the front of their church, and they would go in and pick the snakes up. And people take that. But it's a dangerous road when we start looking at bits of the Bible that we then use to change the good news, to change the evangelistic approach. So how does this work for us today? If we're really evangelical, I think we need to have those five things. We need to have a personal relationship with God. We need to trust the Bible. We need to be telling other people the good news. What stops us? I've got another fantastic theological clip for you to see. This one is from Planes, Trains and Automobiles. It's a wonderful film. It's highly recommended. And we're going to watch a particular clip that just might help you to understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning. For me, that sums up how I believe those of us who are evangelical should think about the world out there. They might make fun of us for telling them they're going the wrong way. They might ridicule us for saying that we've got an answer. But really? If that's what we believe, shouldn't we be out there with those people? Shouldn't we be trying to say to them, you're going the wrong way? I've got good news to share. I've got a gift that is yours for free. I just need the opportunity to share with you. Is it fear that stops us from sharing our good news? You're going the wrong way. As an evangelical, and I'm proud to say that, I am an evangelical. I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I believe that the whole of the Bible is true, and that each individual must make a choice whether to follow God or not. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you loved us first. That even when we didn't know you, you gave your Son to die for us. Help us, Lord, to know what that means in our lives, day by day. Help us, Lord, to take that good news and share it with the people that we meet this week. Lord, would you give us opportunities? Would you help us to be brave enough to share the good news that we have with the people that we meet, that we might fulfill what you have asked us to do, that we would tell the whole world the good news. Help us, Lord, in our own lives to know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.